I appreciate that hymn, Brother Mike. That's one of my favorite. That was written in the year 700 and something. That's old. I not only love the words, High King of Heaven, my victory won. Written back in the day. It was an Irish hymn. And I not only love the words, but I like the Irish melody. Written back in the day when they knew the value of a victorious king against the many enemies that surrounded them. Thank you all for all that you've done thus far, for the food and all that goes into making one of these meetings. Thank you so much for everything. Thank your pastor and his wife and all of you who, for the work you've done. Look with me now at the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I want to read one verse, a very familiar verse to most in here. Verse 37, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I hope tonight that will be your favorite verse in the Bible, at least tonight. There was an old preacher years ago, one of the first Sovereign Grace preachers in the South, along with Barnard and a few others, named A.D. Muse. And he was a country fella, Southern man, and he used to say, now this is cornbread and tater row preaching. Cornbread and tater row preaching. By that, I think he meant good old plain gospel preaching. Same food that you grew up eating and liking and can't get enough of. I know some of you, I know you like food that you have been eating for years and can't get enough of it. That's the way it is with the gospel. The foundational truths. One way that you know the gospel is gospel to you, that is good news, if it's always good news when you hear it. Never gets old, but rather good news. Very simply, I got 3 points to this message. Who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to come to Christ? And thirdly, what do they receive when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ? All right, who will come to Christ? Verse 37 again, our Lord said very plainly, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The Lord is talking about the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. The chosen, those chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In verse 44, our Lord said this, he said it twice. Here and in verse 65, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which had sent me draw him. Why? Man, it really is dead in trespasses and sin. He cannot come. Lazarus wouldn't have come out of that grave had not the Lord called him, would it? No man can, no man will. Over in chapter 5, he said, you will not come unto me, that you might have life. It's not of him that willeth, is it? But of God that called. Well, down in verse 60, many who heard this, they said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" It's a hard saying. Who can hear it? I went to the radio station one day, a few years ago, to drop off a tape for the broadcast. And a man stopped me on the way out of the station. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I hear, you know, you preach on that election a lot." At least he was listening. But he said, "You know, that election, it's hard to understand, isn't it?" I said, "No, not really. It's hard to receive. Yea, impossible. Unless a man is given it from above to receive it. It's hard on man's pride, isn't it? It's hard on man's will. It kills man's little decision that he has made. It gives God all the glory which man wants part of. It makes salvation of the Lord from the choosing to the calling to the drawing to the bringing to the saving to the keeping to the glorifying. Makes it totally of the Lord, doesn't it?" Let me ask you what our Lord asked these people who heard Him in verse 61. He said, "Doth this offend you? Doth this offend you? No man can come. All the Father giveth me shall come." And I don't know why. "Does this offend you?" Well, old Simon answered on behalf of all of us, didn't it? On behalf of all believers, look at what Simon said. He said in verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Hard? No, this is life. "And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Our Lord answered then and said, "Have not I chosen you?" It's obvious that I've chosen you, or you wouldn't believe. "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you," He said, "but my Father, which gave you to me, which chose you." Chosen by God. Listen to Isaiah. Oh, how I love these verses in Isaiah. The Lord says, I am the Lord. I have chosen you that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. I have declared. I have saved. I have showed. Or revealed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. He says to His people, "I've chosen you that you may know that I've chosen you." The world doesn't believe that. I think it's hard. Before the day was, He said. Look at Mark chapter 3. Go over to the Gospel of Mark chapter 3 with me. Mark chapter 3. If you listen to these preachers, pastor here, Brother Nybert and others, and you will hear them talk about God's sovereign electing grace quite often. Why is that? Because God talks about it quite often. That's why. It's the language of Scripture, isn't it, Brother Tom? That's what He calls His people, doesn't it? The elect. Christ referred to His people as the elect. Why do we talk about God's sovereign electing grace? Because it gives God all the glory in the choosing. Because it's the truth. That's why. Look at Mark chapter 3. How I love this verse. In verse 13. The Lord, it says, He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto Him whom He would. Whom He would. He called whom He would. According to His will, according to His good pleasure, He called whom He would. What did they do? They came. They came. Everyone, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. All that the Father hath chosen and given to me shall come to me. Who are these? Who shall come? John 10. John chapter 10. Go over there with me. Oh, this talks about the good shepherd, that John chapter 10. And he's talking about his sheep. Christ's sheep. He's the good shepherd. And the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and these sheep were given to him by the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. God the Father owns all things and chose these sheep and gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. His sheep. Verses 14 and following. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Not goats, not all men, but for the sheep. A particular redemption. A particular death for a particular people. An effectual death. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I must bring. Verses 26 and following. He said to some who didn't like this, he said, you believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Who shall come to Christ? All that the Father giveth to Christ. And you know what that is, don't you? That's a covenant that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made with one another before the world began. Get tired of hearing that? Our salvation depends on a covenant, doesn't it? Ordered in all things and sure. That's what David said. Oh, this is all my salvation. That God made this everlasting covenant, Brother Jeff, concerning His people, and nothing can change it. No man. And God the Father chose a people which no man can number, bless His name. But He has a number. He has a number. As the stars of the sky for multitude, as the sands of the sea for multitude, but He has a number. And He gave them, He purposed to save them, gave them to His Son to be their Redeemer, to be their surety, to be their substitute, to be their sin offering, to be their covenant head, to come down here and redeem them, to pay for their sin, to establish a righteousness for them. Did He do it? Absolutely. Hanging on Calvary's tree, He said, it's finished. It's finished. And went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to round them up. Every one of them. One time they argued with Spurgeon. They said, well, if I believe that election like you, why preach? He said, why don't you just preach to the elect? Brother Tony Spurgeon said, well, I would if they had an E on them. I would. I wouldn't bother to preach to anybody. But the commission is go into all the world and hear and preach the gospel. They do have an E on them. We can't see it. God does. They've got blood on them. We can't see it. God does. And He said, my sheep, for whom Christ came to die, they will hear my voice and they will come. I'll say in Isaiah 43, He said this, I'll say to the north, give up. I'll say to the south, bring my people from afar. I'll say it and they'll come. Because I'm the good shepherd. This is the gospel call. And those who have not heard this call, the world, who have not heard this powerful gospel call, cannot understand how merely standing up and declaring who God is and declaring who Christ is and what He's done is enough for people to come. that you don't beg and plead and invite and do all of this and cajole and all that, that people will come. You need to invite people. You need to have an altar call. You need to, there needs to be an invitation. Gospel's not by invitation. Listen to it. David said in Psalm 71, "Thou hast given commandment to save me." Salvation is a command, it's not an invitation. That's not in the Bible, invitation. Not an offer. The only offer made was Christ made this offering to His Father, and the Father accepted it on behalf of His people. But the gospel is a command. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Aren't you glad that salvation is by command? That He didn't ask you, would you come? Because you would not come unto me, He said. All that the Father giveth me in that covenant of grace shall come unto me. That's the powerful call of the Lord. They all come. You've probably heard all my dog stories, but I'm going to tell one again. I have a dog, and I chose that dog. He did not choose me. I went down to a kennel, and in the litter in which I found him, there were 12 pups in that litter. That dog did not choose me. I chose him out of that according to my good pleasure. I bought him. I paid money for that dog. That's amazing in itself. That you pay good money for a dog. I bought that dog. And I brought that dog home with me. And I said, "You're mine. You're mine. I own you from here on out." And Brother Tony, I taught him. Trained him. Taught him well. One of the first things I taught him was come. I taught him to come. I taught him to follow me, to heal. And that dog comes when I call him. He comes. Because I'm a good dog caller. Well, our Lord's a good shepherd. Thank God. And He says, "My sheep, which are prone to wander," Lord, I feel it, "prone to leave the God I love," He's a good shepherd. He's never lost a sheep. And He goes after every one of them, finds them. And He does it through this gospel. And He calls them. And bless God, they come. They come. Because the voice of the Lord is powerful, breaking the cedars, the psalmist says, hardest heart, making hinds to calve. That's the new birth, isn't it? And sinners to come. Well, what is it to come to Christ? That's who will come. All that the Father hath chosen, all that Christ died for, all that the Holy Spirit sends the gospel to, they will come. What is it to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? But look over in John chapter 6, verse 24 through 26 with me. The Lord Jesus Christ attracted a crowd wherever He went. There were great multitudes that followed Him. Verses 24 through 6. "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they came and took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." They wanted to see this man, Jesus, His miracle working and so forth. And when they found Him on the other side, they said unto Him, "Rabbi, teacher, when camest thou hither?" The Lord answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, seek me, not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You got your belly filled. You seek me for what you can get from me. In another place, He said to some, "You seek me because of the miracle." And there are many still today, are there not, who are very interested in this Jesus, miracle worker, for what they can get out of Him. And preachers promise them all sorts of things, you know, financial healing and marital healing and deliverance from various addictions and so forth, and that's the people interested in that. What is it to come to Christ, though? Listen to what our Lord said again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's me they seek. You read that there in Psalm 70. Those that seek Him find their joy in Him. Look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 8 with me. Matthew chapter 8. To come to Christ, to come to Christ is to come to Him. Come to Him. To come to Him as Lord and Master. To come worshiping Him. First. To come as a leper. Come as a sinner. Look, this is the story here in Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 1. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. Followed Jesus. Again, because of the miracles and so forth. And behold, though. Stop that minute. Look at this. There came a leper and worshipped Him. This leper, multitudes followed Him. Multitudes were attracted to His miracles and so forth. But this leper of all people, behold, this leper came to Him. And look at what he did. First thing he did, he worshipped Him. He worshipped Him. He came to worship Him. Before he got anything from the Lord, before he asked for anything, he first worshipped Him as Lord, as Master. See, this is what our Lord said in John 6:45. He said, they'll all be taught of God. Taught what? This is your Lord and Master. Bow to Him. As the brother said, hear Him, bow to Him, worship Him. Let all the angels of God, he said, worship Him. Let everything that hath breath worship Him. First, before anything is given to you, worship Him. Worship Him. I think it was either Bunyan or Calvin, one. They asked him one time and mocking him and deriding him. They said, what if you looked at the Lamb's Book of Life? What if you could not see your name as one of the elect, John Calvin? Would you still worship the Lord? He said, yes, I would. Because He's worthy. Whether He does anything for me or not. Don't come, we come, the Lord, this is what the Lord does for His people first of all. When they come, and you many of you remember as a young believer coming, and you just love to hear about this sovereign God, this sovereign Lord, about His majesty. And you almost felt presumptuous to think that you were one of His elect. You remember that, Brother Tom? You just thought, I just want to be here and listen. I don't know if I'm one of these or not, but I sure like who I'm hearing. Worship Him. Lord, Master, saying, here's what he said. Here's how he came to the Lord, a leper. Verse 2, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt. You don't hear this, I have decided, do you? I've decided to let you. Lord, if Thou wilt, if You're willing, not my will, but if You're willing, if You're willing, him that cometh to God, Hebrews 6:11 says, must believe what? That He is. We're coming to a King. You don't let kings do anything. There in Isaiah 43 again, He said, I will work and who will let me? He's Lord. He's sovereign. He's King. He's a despot. He needs no one. Certainly doesn't need a leper. This leper knew that. Doesn't need a leper. He does as he will with whom he will. What do you say to these things? Does this offend you? No, this is his person. The God that men speak of today, that they let be God, the Jesus men speak of, you know, that they let into their hearts. Joseph, somebody once said, you know what the hand of God would do to your heart's door if it was knocking on it? Huh? That's not the God of the Bible who will work according to His own will. To come to Christ is to first come to Him as the sovereign Lord who can save me or damn me. That's right. We're talking about mercy. Mercy is undeserved. Isn't it? Mercy is always sovereign by definition. Isn't it? To come to the Lord Jesus Christ is to come to Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, in whose hands we are to accept or reject. Men have it backwards, don't they? The message of Pentecost that struck fear in the hearts of everyone who heard it and had them crying for mercy was of a Jesus that they thought to be just a man who is Lord, and they're in His hands to do with as He pleased. And that struck the fear of the Lord. Saving wisdom is the fear. The fear of the Lord is saving wisdom. And caused them to cry out, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? To come to Christ, like this fellow, is to come to Him as Lord, if you will. It's to come to Him as a leper. To come to Him as a leper. You know what a leper is, don't you? We really don't know what a leper is. We've never seen one. It's been years since there's been actual lepers. I know there's lepers, but not like back then. It's an incurable disease. It was always fatal. Leprosy. And the leper that we're speaking of here is a man who's covered from head to toe. A Leviticus 13:13 leper. Have you ever seen that? I know you have. You've been taught well here. Over in the book of Leviticus, it said that if a man came to the high priest and there was no soundness in his flesh, from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head, he was covered with leprosy, that man and that man only would the high priest pronounce clean. That's a paradox, isn't it? A Romans 7:11 sinner, 7:18. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's how you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. An Isaiah 1:6 sinner. From the crown of the head, the sole of the feet, to the crown of the head, no soundness in them. That's why you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You come as a sinner, needing a Savior. Those who come to Christ are those He came for. Listen to Him. He said, I'm not come to call the righteous. The well don't need a physician. Those that are whole don't need a physician. But those that are a mess, those that are undone, they need a physician. I'm not come to call the righteous to come. I am come to call sinners. Come. And they come. It's to come dirty, filthy, in need of washing. And there's only one thing that'll wash away our sin. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My little granddaughter was sitting in her high chair. You didn't think I was going to go too long without bringing her up, did you? She was sitting in her high chair the other day, and a few weeks ago, and she was eating something. She's 2 years old. And, you know, she finally got it all over her. She, from her head to toe, just everywhere. I don't know what it was. She was just covered with it. And she got this from her mother and her grandmother. She doesn't like to be too messy, but she was. And she, until finally she just had the awful look on her face like she's going to cry. And she said, Paw, I make a mess. And you know, my heart just went out to her.
And I said, "It's all right, honey. I'll clean it up. Papa will clean it all up." And we are a mess. We've made a mess of everything. And we'll continue to do so. Lord, I want to be clean. That's what this leper said. "What wilt thou?" I want to be clean. It's to come. To come to Christ is to come to Him as our prophet. Lord, would You tell me all things? I hear what men are saying, but would You tell me? Would You tell me what my future holds? He said, "I will. You'll be with me in paradise." He can't lie. God who promised, God who cannot lie, promised us eternally. This to come to Christ as our priest. The only one priest of old was the one who, the high priest, was the one who went to God with the prayers, with the blood, with the sacrifice. Well, only one man, by one man could go into the Holy of Holies. There's a bunch of false ones today, aren't there, that men confess their sins to? Well, we truly go to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess all of our sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive us. He's able to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's to come to Christ as King, like the thief on the cross. Lord, You're coming into a kingdom. Would You remember me? Can I be a part of this kingdom? It's Your kingdom. I have no right to it whatsoever. Can I be a part of it? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the King is to come to Christ as hungry. Blessed are they that hunger. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. That hunger, He's the bread. That thirst, He's the water. You know the story of Joseph. You love the story of Joseph? Pharaoh said of Joseph, he said, "I've committed unto Joseph all the storehouses. I've given everything into the hands of Joseph. And if anybody's hungry, if anybody wants anything, you're going to have to go to Joseph. He's in charge of the storehouses." But didn't our Lord say, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father"? Didn't He? He said, "The Father hath given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me." And I'll tell you this, He'll give it to those that ask, to everyone that asks. He's never turned one away. Never. "All that the Father given me shall come to me, and him that cometh won't turn away. Won't turn away." It's to come to Christ in need of mercy. Need mercy? Go to Christ. Need grace? Without Him we can do nothing. Need help? Need strength? Need comfort? Need security? Need assurance? Need peace? Need rest? "Come unto me, I'll give you rest, saith the Lord." So to come to the Lord Jesus Christ is to come, first of all, worshiping Him. It's to come seeing your need of Him. Now listen to this. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ is to leave all others. By that, I mean to renounce everything and everyone, to turn from our idols to serve the living and true God, the true Christ. No one is saved who does not know, believe, and confess the true God and the true Christ. No one is saved apart from the truth. Right, Brother Niver? No one is saved under a false gospel by a false prophet. Not one. But only by hearing, believing, bowing to the true God and His true Christ. This is the gospel. There is no other. There is no other. And the first thing a person does when they see the true God and the true Christ is they confess that old one that I had was not the right one. It's the wrong one. I didn't know God back then. That's what Paul said. That's what Saul said. He could quote the Bible from cover to cover, but he said, I didn't know God. Blameless, morally blameless, I thought. And I thought Jesus was in my hands. Oh, little did I know. I didn't know the Lord Jesus. I had another Jesus. That's what it is to come to Christ. This Christ. It's to confess Him. This Christ. And by confessing this Christ, you renounce that past one. Paul said, all of my past religion was garbage. Dung. Everything I ever did was dung. Right? To come to Christ. So renounce the past. And you know every believer does renounces yesterday's day. It's to come to Christ. That's my next point. To come to Christ is to keep coming to Christ. It's not a one-time thing. It's not, well, I came to Christ years ago and now I'm saved. No, sir. It's a lifelong thing. It's a daily thing. Peter said, to whom coming, didn't he? And coming and coming and coming. Listen to the Lord. He said, him that cometh. Him that cometh. And cometh. Right? And what a blessed... Would you stay with me just a minute? Said him that cometh. He doesn't qualify that. Whoever it is. Him that cometh. Now we know all the Father giveth. As we know that's who will come. He said him. Whoever it is. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Even the chief of sinners can come, may come and be received. Him. But Lord, I'm too sinful. Him that cometh. Him that cometh. But Lord, he left. She left. She departed. Are they coming back? Well, yeah, but him that cometh. Would you get a hold of this? Huh? Would you get a hold of this? Him that cometh. Wait a minute. He's fallen away. He's gone away again. Again. He's fallen right back into the rut, the pit that he was in before. Surely, you're done with him. Is he coming back? Well, yeah, here he comes. Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Again. And again, you know, really, every time we come to hear the gospel, we're coming to Christ again. Just like we came the first time. How did we come the first time? Like that leper. All right, now we're better. Now we've gotten rid of all that. No! We come again and again and again for the same thing, for mercy, for grace, for our high priest. Did you tell me, Lord, I'm coming back. Will you have me again? He'll never say. Here's what he will not do. He said, I will in no wise cast him out. Him that cometh. I want for no reason ever. I will never say. No more. Isn't that good news? He never changes. That's why he's the same Christ yesterday, today, and forever. That's our salvation. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what we would do, will do. But we can rest and trust this Lord who never changes, who said, him that cometh to me, where to whom shall we go? Where are you going to turn? Right back to him. I don't know if I've told this or not. I probably have, but I love my old dog. I talk about him almost as much as I do my granddaughter. He's been a faithful companion. He's a well-trained dog.
Can an old dog get into trouble like a young puppy? Let me ask you this. Can an old sinner fall back into the world with the world and do the things that he did when he was young? My dog, there was a pack of dogs outside. Have I told this time? I don't know. Somebody hadn't heard it. There's a pack of dogs outside my house one day. Mindy said she's got a little Shih Tzu that she was worried about and that she lets out. And she said, there's a pack of dogs out there and I'm worried about them. And I went outside and sure enough, I thought I'm going to have to do something about them. Most of them didn't have collars on. I said, well, if they're there tomorrow, I'm going to do something about them. I'm going to take matters into my own hand. You know what I mean? I went out the next day. Sure enough, there they were. Pack of dogs. They were across the street. And I looked. And right in the middle of that pack of dogs was my dog. He knows better, Cheryl. He's right in the middle of a bunch of dogs that I plan to exterminate. Can a believer get caught up in the world and the world that the Lord's going to destroy? Absolutely. Ask Solomon. Well, how do you know my dog from the rest? I said, come. And one dog came. With his tail between his legs. And if he could talk, Lionel, he'd have been saying, I'm so sorry. I knew better. I didn't cast him out. I received it. That's how you know God's people. The gospel is preached. And there's a young man and others who left for a long period of time. Didn't think we'd see them again. They're back. And happy as a hog in mud. As if they heard the gospel for the first time. And we act like nothing ever happened. That's the way the Lord does. What does He do for those that come? He said, this is the Father's will, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Lord said, I give unto them eternal life. What does He do for those that come to Him? He gives them eternal life. And the Lord doesn't take back what He gives. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Without change, without turning. No shadow of it. No shadow of a doubt. He gives life. And you know what? The fact is, if the reason they come is because He gave them life. They already have life. Right? They wouldn't come. He gives peace. He gives rest. He gives joy. He said, no man will take it from you. He gives a home, a dwelling place. He gives, puts you in a part of a, in a fold. He gives you a family. He gives you other sheep. They're just like you. To resort to. And warn you. And it says He raises them up at the last day. And puts them into His blessed kingdom. Where they praise His name forever. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who chose them. Election by the Father. Praise the Son who redeemed them. Who saved them. Redemption by the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit who regenerates and calls and brings them. Salvation's of the Lord. Okay. May the Lord bless you.